Yeah, so it's been a couple years in the forming, actually. The idea for serving this part of our Christian community has obviously been batted around, I think, for quite a while. We recognize the opportunity. I don't have statistics on how many are homeschooling and things like that, but obviously it's a growing area. Many people, especially in the Christian community, are choosing to homeschool their children for a variety of reasons. So I think of it as really the harvest is ripe. It's waiting for us, but there's few workers. And we can't, being the organization we are, we can't compete with the marketing of Answers in Genesis or places like that that have lots of slick material and can go to lots of places, spend lots of money. We can't spend lots of money on Google ads. We really are going to have to slow build something that builds and gets traction because of the quality of the content over time. The ASA obviously is uniquely qualified and positioned to be able to serve this community in a way that nobody else can. We have no commercial interests. We don't sell anything. If we have a website, there's no sidebar with barraging of ads or whatever from who knows what. We don't promote one specific view, except that we esteem science as something that needs to be taken seriously and is authoritative in its realm, and also hold, obviously, to the authority of Scripture and our strong belief as Christians. And we have highly qualified members in a variety of fields, as well as the fact that we spend a lot of time thinking about how to integrate our science and faith. So really, we have that desire to serve. This is sort of a little piece that I took from the homepage of the site at the moment. It's what I tried to communicate, what our message and purpose is. This first statement comes right out of our purpose statement. So the ASA is an association of Christians who are professional scientists. Our purpose is to investigate the relationship of Christian theology and natural science, and thereby to edify both Christian and scientific communities. This site is intended to fulfill those purposes for the Christian homeschooling community by reviewing and providing information about available existing curricula, textbooks, and other science resources. We hope to assist parents in choosing tools to effectively teach science subjects to their children. So just really trying to be transparent about who we are, what we'd like to do to serve. Ultimately, we're not here to hit people over the heads. We want to engage people and open up their eyes a little bit. So the question is how to do that effectively, how to take what we know and have, the experience that we have, and get it to this audience. It's maybe easier to think about how not to do it. How not to do it would be to not be very clear ourselves or to not communicate clearly to our audience what our purpose and standards are. We have both a curse and a blessing in the ASA in that we don't hold to one view. So what do we do? What do we say? You know, if we just say everything out there, that can tend to just be a big confusion. You know, as good as the ASA website is with gobs of resources, for a person coming in from the outside looking for something that they can actually use practically in their situation, they'll just be overwhelmed with the discussion and debate. We also want to be a place where we want to be rigorous and objective, yet objective, and also charitable. Obviously, we're part of this Christian community that we're serving. We don't want to antagonize them. We could have no clear comments policy. Obviously, on the web, there's all kinds of blogs and things like that. people comment and there's endless discussion, that can just be overwhelming too. I'm not a big fan of just endless debate and discussion about things. So it would need to be a little bit controlled, but yet we do want feedback from people. We want people to be able to say, yeah, this little synopsis you gave was helpful, or I found it helpful in this situation, someone else could use this, or I suggest tweaking it in this way and it might be helpful. Things like that. So figuring out how to do that effectively. If we didn't do a good job of helping to integrate what resources we have, helping people figure out how to plug that into the curriculum that they're already using. We're not in a position to write a full curriculum ourselves. People are going to be using a curriculum that's, they're going to be choosing a curriculum of the choices they have, a standard curriculum. But I see our primary audience as one where the audience that they're going to use the standard curriculum, but they're wanting to maybe explore some of the other ideas. They're open to some other resources. So our resources need to be practical, things that can be plugged in, found and added in as sort of supplements. If we don't have any particular format to the pages on our site, it's just, you know, just a page after page of content, that makes it hard for people to scan through, read, and find what they want. No way to search and compare if we don't have a good functioning website. So we can avoid these things by designing well up front. And that's what I've really spent a lot of time thinking about and figuring out how to do cheaply without spending hundreds of thousands of dollars with some website content group designing a site for us. Trying to put the things in place so that things can grow on them on the, themselves. The site can build content slowly and without gobs of maintenance to sort of keep it up to date. So this is actually going to be very practical, just basically describing what this means, what I mean by the design of the site and how I think it'll work. So good design to me means that it's intuitive content structure. It's easy to know what's there in the on the website, what the structure is of the menus. The pages are easy to read and scan. They have a standard format. And then to add this sort of good web functionality for search and filtering, things like that. So I'm going to describe a little bit about what I mean by those things. But first, let's on the first bit about the content structure, this is sort of the drop-down menus on the site as I've sort of laid them out. Of course, there's an About section about the ASA, about this project, maybe a guide to the website. We might in the future add short bios on each person that does significant contributing to the content on the site. Again, I want to be transparent, let people know who we are, be honest about who we are. But the main block of content will be curriculum reviews and then curriculum supplements. So I see the window into helping and helping people find content that will be that they can plug into their curriculum. That has to start with giving some overview and characterization of the curricula that they're likely using. So that means reviewing textbooks of the maybe top five curricula that are used in by most homeschoolers. So that's textbook reviews. Also, that would mean maybe a profile page on each publisher. What does this publisher offer? Where do they come from in their Christian denomination or whatever? A little bit about that. If there's very prominent authors that have written a lot of textbooks, there might even be profile pages on them. And then resource reviews, and this would be more like it's more like books that we know are likely to be useful, but it would follow the same format of reviewing a textbook. So if we know of resources and books that we think are worthy of consideration being used in the curriculum, we could review those. For example, the Harzma's Origins book is a superb book and written at a level that would be very useful in high school. And, you know, this audience can learn about that. So we can review that book just like we'd be reviewing a textbook, but it's making that connection. And then offering supplements. And this would be all the kinds of stuff that we can offer more or less for free, whether it be offering articles, a little essay from different ones of us, where we can speak directly to the teacher, the parents, saying, this is what, you know, students really need to know before they get to college. Or adapting a lesson. Maybe you've done a lesson on one particular specific topic that would make a single day or a couple day lesson. And you could write up a short blurb on that lesson, and it would just be a downloadable piece that people could grab. Potentially, someone could, if someone's taught through a book but written a bunch of sort of commentary on the side, that would be like a textbook guide. And then if someone's taken some of these pieces, and this is more down the road, they've used the Harzma book along with this textbook, and they put it in at this spot in the sequence. This would mostly come from users, probably. They could post that and say, hey, I did this. I used these three resources, put it with this, and it worked really well, and put that up for people to learn from. How am I doing for time? Okay. All right, so we'll move along quickly now. So let's talk about good design in terms of page layout. I don't know, has anyone ever used the site? If you have kids, you might have gone to the Plugged In website. It's a Focus on the Family run reviewing site for movies and entertainment content. It's a very useful site, actually, because they have a clear idea of what they want to say. They're basic movie reviews in this case, but they know the blocks of content that should be on the page, what sections of the page there should be, and there's maybe a couple paragraphs or several paragraphs in each one of those sections. They know what people are going to scan for. Parents want to know if there's a positive theme. They want to know what kind of spiritual content, positive and negative. They want to know about bad language, things like that. And it's very easy to check out a site and say, you know, okay, I know what the PG-13 movie or whatever, but is this going to be okay for where my kids are at? Taking that idea, I think it's really important to have that same concept on the pages that we do, whether it's a review page for the textbook review or a resource review, or even the lessons that we might put up, or even a profile of a publisher. What do people want to know about that? They want to know, and what do we want to communicate about it? There's the whole thing of just the stats of what the item is that's being reviewed, and I'll get to that in a second. There's a short introduction that basically says the captures the key summary. But people want to know what features of interest, you know, is what's unusual about this textbook or book. It comes from this angle. It's really written at a great style of language, you know, finding something positive to say, really. But then the three core pieces, or really the two most core pieces, are really the science content and the worldview content. And then finally, the homeschool suitability, some commentary on how easy will this be to use in a homeschool setting. That's especially important for something that isn't necessarily written primarily for that in the first place, but we're suggesting it could be used. So now, before I get into a little more details on that, I want to talk about this, the web functionality, sort of all the stats. So if you go to a site like Amazon and you want to look for something, you type in digital cameras, you don't just get a list of 10,000 results in this case without any guideline. You get a sidebar that knows what you're looking for and gives you several ways to break that down. Do you want to search, do you want to filter that by price, by megapixels, resolution, you know, new or used, brand, things like that. When you think about potentially, you know, down the road, we could have hundreds of pieces of items reviewed and or put on this site. How are people going to quickly find something that fits with them? That means thinking about what those categories are. What matters? Well, price matters, maybe. People don't want to spend lots of money to buy 15 supplements to add into a class. They need free stuff. But also, obviously, subject matter, things like that. So thinking through what those parameters would be so that they're built into the system. So as we add content, we're filling out those fields. They have to be there independently, sort of as data fields on the back end, in order for the website to be able to deliver the content that way. So there's obviously the whole idea of a subject topic index. How do we classify things by subject? Just to add the subject, you know, obviously this is basic school subjects, but I think of something like science and Christianity as being a subject in itself, a whole science subject, and breaking that down into then topics within that subject. And obviously you need a list that isn't too long. You can't list every possible thing. You need to get something that is classifiable. So this is my proposed idea for the science content, starting from very general science and just the general belief in a God, science in the Bible, that specific interpretation thing, compatibility, Christian theology in general, and then applying basically more the applied side in Christian practice. That just gives an idea of a glimpse of that. We've worked with the volunteers and some discussion on the blog about what those categories should be. There's all the citation parameters that you'd need to capture on any given item, title, et cetera, but also things like what's the scope of this? Is this going to fulfill kind of a lab component or just the core text component? Is it going to be basically usable as a whole year or a week lesson, or you know, what's the length of time? What's included in the text? Are there discussion questions? Things like that. I want to move ahead here, so I don't want to get too bogged down. What is the target audience? So what's the style of who this was written to? Certain Christian textbooks might be written for just helping to develop a worldview. Others might be written very directly as, you know, here's the stuff to arm you to defend the faith. There's a whole range there. And I've actually, in some of these categories, I've included things that probably in reality are never going to, there won't be content that fits them. But I was trying to think of the whole logical spectrum in some of these. So let's talk about the science content and the worldview content, because these are things that the parameters here are things that I do want some feedback on. When we talk about the science content, I think we can be fairly objective in the sense that individual reviewers, obviously, we're all going to have our views that we care about and we come down in one particular way. But obviously, what's most important is to give information. And I think if we hold basically standard or mainstream consensus science as our standard for comparison, whether or not you believe that on every individual issue or not is not really the primary issue. It's how does this textbook stand up against what is considered the consensus issues and pointing out differences from that. And obviously keeping in mind the general standards in education, which in science are actually kind of being rewritten now and redrafted, so it's a little bit nebulous there. So that's the concept. How do we characterize it? And then if we are reviewing something, being able to rate it on a 5-star rating is kind of a quick way to say the quality of it in that sense. So characterizing it, this is actually kind of more of a worldview question. And whether or not we present this data up front, it's data that's stored in the background about each item to say where it's coming from and kind of categorizing it. Obviously, a reviewer is going to write paragraphs, and that's the main content of what's on the site. But on the back end, for all that searching and things, you need pigeonholes to be able to categorize them or classify them for sorting and things like that. So what's the apparent view of the authority of scriptural revelation with regard to science? Is it a literalist view, a concordist view, more of accommodationist? Trying to think of these other logical categories. Something that contains valid revelations, but maybe no miraculous history, or a complete materialist thing. Basically, there's no, you know, this would be for a very secular book or item. And maybe that author really just doesn't believe there's any value, nothing special about the Christian Bible. Where the person comes down on origins, and I know every subject is not about origins, but what you think about this, and so there is always this unknown, not apparent, or not relevant to this particular item that's there. But often it's there, even in Christian textbooks, they're so anti-evolution that they'll put it in, even if it's not really that relevant to the subject. So it gets in multiple places, and being able to characterize those or set those categories. So then basically a 5-star rating, again, which depending on, these don't all have to be pushed out there as or shown. I would say the overall science rating would be the reviewer's opinion of the quality of the science. And that is, does it conform to mainstream science? What's the accuracy or clarity of the scientific content and the explanations? And then how complete is it for the topics that should be covered? Boy, I really ruined it, didn't I? Real quick, on the worldview side, again, the concept of relating something about the worldview of that piece or that item that we're considering. Is this a Christian textbook? More from an evangelical author? What's the church affiliation or denominational sort of tradition of this book? What's the theology of God? What's their underlying theology with regard to science? And I sort of have this as my list at the moment. And this one, it's probably a good place to stop then, because this one I probably need most help on. I sort of came up with this as how, and I'll make this then a question, so if you let me go on just one more minute. What's the underlying view of what someone would, of a given textbook, let's say, of their presentation of what they feel about how God works in the world or how that intersection with science works? So it's their theism, really. It's probably safest just to go with that default classical theist. I think after I came up with this list, I realized, of course, almost all textbooks are going to be very traditional, homeschool textbooks. Okay. Other things that we might put up there or suggest to we need to fairly say where they're coming from. And some of those may be further down the list. So some of these might be populated. The question I have is, I think, and I realize that this kind of overlaps with a view of salvation theology rather than just the science theology. And the question would be, would you be willing to be characterized by these categories? And if you're not comfortable with it, then maybe it's not fair to categorize others with those categories. So. Okay. Find out about the website? Yeah, so I have I've sort of mentioned this a couple of times in the last couple of days. If you think about the Great Commission, there's Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. I'm thinking first about Jerusalem, and I think that Jerusalem is the connections that we have with homeschoolers we know personally. So I think the initial connection is going to be, look, there's some great resources here, some helps that you might be able to use. And again, if we're fairly characterizing things, they're not going to be surprised by something they've picked or chosen. They'll see that, oh, it's coming from this point of view, it's going to tell me this, and they'll be able to pick something fairly. So that's my first tier. I think if that gains some traction, I think it will gain respect and spread out a little bit from there. Yeah. Right, so again, that's why I see that first set of audience being people we have some personal connection with. They are going to trust coming to the site because of their trust in our own relationship with our friends and colleagues. I'm not the only one in this room. We have a couple other homeschoolers here. There are connections. A lot of people I've talked to, they know somebody that knows somebody, and they're struggling to find help and direction there. So I think it has to be through our personal connections.
This is going to be our last one because otherwise we run out of time.
Yeah.
This is a question to advise from an educational psychoeducative perspective. You've got two issues that you have to deal with. One is the average parent is not going to be as well informed with the specialized vocabulary.
Yeah.
Well, the classical Likert type scale, where you get a statement.